give me the money that is owing to me. Can I have my inheritance now? What a terrible thing for a young man to say to his father. Because in asking for the inheritance now, that young man was basically telling his dad, I wish you were dead already. Give me the money that falleth to me. I want to speak today on this title, The Greatest Misunderstanding. The Greatest Misunderstanding. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Greatest Misunderstanding. The Greatest Misunderstanding. Luke chapter 15 is a wonderful account. We've read it so many times over our lives, I'm sure. But this Luke chapter 15 gives us an earthly story to teach us a heavenly lesson. Gives us an earthly illustration to teach us a heavenly story. Luke chapter 15, it talks about lost things. We open Luke chapter 15 talking about lost sheep and how the shepherd would leave the 99 and would go to find the one lost sheep. The one out of 100. I've come to tell you today that Jesus cares for the one out of 100. Jesus goes on to tell the story of the lost coin, a lady who had 10 coins and she lost one coin. And the Bible says that this lady turned the house upside down, searching for the one lost coin. One in 10. Jesus cares for the one in 100. He cares for the one in 10. And he also cares for the one in 2. Because it's the story, the parable of the prodigal son. And so we read this story. A man had 2 sons. The young one comes. And I guess that young one, probably a little bit spoiled. He comes and asks for his inheritance and before his dad's even passed. He says, I want the money that's owing to me, that's coming my way, that falleth to me. And the good father took the goods and he divided them. And the son left and the Bible says he went to a far country. He went as far away from his daddy as he could. He went to a far country. As far as he could go, and he wasted all of his money. He wasted all of his inheritance with what the Bible calls riotous living. He spent it all. And then a famine came. The Bible says he began to be in want. So he went to a man, he went to a farmer, and he found that farmer, and the farmer invited him in, I guess, to the house, and the farmer gave him a job. Feeding pigs. Now, I'm thankful that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it for us. The Bible tells us very clearly how this man's life, this young boy's life turned out. You see, the Bible shows us in this story that yes, you may find sin fun for a season. It will be fun and exciting for a season, but it will not last forever. You can go and spend your inheritance and you'll have some fun for a season. It may be fun today, but may I say it will be hell tomorrow. This young man, he was having a good time. His pockets were full. He had everything he wanted. It was nice, but then it required his life. He began to be in want and he finds himself feeding pigs when the famine came. Let me tell you, there is always a famine coming to the land when you are living a life of sin. Because the wages of sin is... When you live a life of sin and you go for your payment and for your reward, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life eternal. And so this story tells us in the Bible that sin has its reward. And when the partying was over, the famine came. No more money. No more money. No more women. I know they probably didn't have cars back then, but no more fancy donkeys. Hotted up donkeys, you know. Chariots, that's right. No more nice cars. No more parties. The famine came. The music had stopped. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? When you go out on the weekend, and maybe in your BC days, I hope, and you go out and it's all fun and games, and then that feeling on Sunday night, late at Sunday night, when you realize that all of it stopped and there was nothing there, that you're still empty, that you still feel so empty and still feel so lost, and you still feel so lonely, and then the cycle happens. You finish up your weekend, what a letdown. But then they start looking forward to the next weekend. Okay, maybe next weekend's going to be different. On Monday, they start counting down just a few more days to the weekend. Let me tell you today, sin will always take you further than you want it to go. Sin will always keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will always cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. And so when everything ran out, he began to be in want. Everybody say want. We know what he needed. The Bible doesn't say he began to be in need. He began to be in want. We know what he needed. He needed to go back to the Father's house. We know what he needed, but he began to be in want. He needed to go to the Father's house, but right there about this prodigal, it was all about what he wanted. He wanted more. Let's just be honest. He wanted his old lifestyle back. He wanted his money in his pockets again. He wanted the women and the music and the cars. He wanted all of that. He wanted to keep doing what he was doing. And the Bible tells us this story. It says, he began to be in want. And this is very much a story of this generation. We are a generation of want and not need. We worry so much about what we want. We want this. We want what she's got. We want what he's got. And we've got to keep up with the Joneses. We've got all these wants. I've come to encourage somebody today to put down your wants and pick up your needs. What you need is to get back into the Father's house. What you need is to get back into the prayer room. What you need is to get your nose back into the book of life, the Word of God. You need to come running back to the Father. And so if God needs to take you so far that you've got nothing and you find yourself feeding pigs, let me tell you, that's the best thing that could happen, because it's worth it. If you've got to lose everything so you can have your salvation, it's worth everything to you. I've come to tell you that Jesus loves you today and he's calling you back. You need to come running back to the Father. You need to give your whole life to Jesus. Let me tell you what want will get you. What want will get you? I want, I want, I want. The Bible says he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that far country. And he sent him into the fields. That citizen, who probably he thought was his friend, sent him into a far country to feed pigs. Here it is for you today. When you go to a far country, when you run away from God, you will find a house, but it won't be a home. You will find somebody out in the world that will welcome you in. You'll have your mates at the club or the pub. You'll have your mates there. Yeah, they will welcome you in with arms open wide, but they've got nothing to offer you. He found a house, but he didn't find a home. He found somebody, a fellow citizen, yes. But what did he have for him? Hey, go feed some pigs. This world has nothing to offer us. The only true satisfaction you can have in life is to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to go somewhere. Yes, you will find a home in this world. Yes, you will find a fellow citizen, but it doesn't mean it's the Father's house. You need to go somewhere where you're going to hear the truth. You'll find fellow citizens in this world who will tell you what you want to hear. Yes, you're okay. Don't worry about that. Oh, you're a victim. Oh, you can't do anything about that. But you need to go somewhere where you're going to hear the truth. You need to go somewhere when you're in a famine. You need to go somewhere where the truth is preached, because the truth is the only thing that can set you free. You got to be true to yourself. And if you're in sin today, let me tell you, start looking at your life and be true to yourself. So when the prodigal son was done partying and found himself alone, he found himself hungry. He got a job feeding pigs. Everybody say pigs. Some cute little pigs there. Why is it significant that he got a job
feeding pigs. See, this young Jewish boy, everybody say Jewish. In that Jewish culture, pigs were unclean animals. If a Jewish man longed for the food of pigs, the Bible says he got a job feeding pigs, and it even enticed him to eat the pig's food. If a Jewish boy could long for the food of pigs, this scripture is telling us that he has reached the lowest of the low. He has reached rock bottom. In his father's house, yeah, in his father's house, there were rules. In God's word, there is a way to live and a way not to live. And maybe he thought, you know what? I'm leaving the father's house. No more rules, no more restrictions. The fence is down. I'm going to run wild. I'm going to enjoy myself. And the rules and regulations in the father's house said I couldn't touch pigs. Pigs are unclean. But there the boy finds himself feeding pigs. The Bible says he was even longing to fill his belly with the pig's food. It reveals just how far he had gone. Sometimes we have to. And I've said this to people before. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we come to our senses. And I've had to say these sorry words to parents before. What is happening to my son? What is happening to my daughter? How can they just walk away from God like this? How can they find themselves caught up in all sorts of mess? And after we've prayed, after we've counseled, after everything we've done, all we can say is just leave them, because sometimes they've got to hit rock bottom before they turn to God. And some of us, what caused us to turn to God is that we hit a rock bottom in our life. We found ourselves over a pig pen, over a pig trough, thinking that the food looks tasty. We find ourselves at rock bottom, and sometimes we've got to reach that point before we turn our eyes to God. The Bible says in verse 16, it says, and he would fain, everybody say fain. Look up that word yourself, study it. He would fain. It meant that he was excited given the circumstances. He would have loved to have eaten, given the circumstances, the food. He had reached a point where he was excited about eating what the pigs were eating. Let me tell you, don't let fame, everybody say fame. Don't let fame come into your life. Don't get to the point where you can look at the things of this world and the filth of this world and think, you know what, maybe that will satisfy me. And the Bible says that fain, he would have loved to, excited to. He was excited about eating that pig's food. No man gave to him. He was working. He was feeding the pigs. This is a picture of sin. He was working. He was feeding. He was cleaning the trough. And the Bible says that he didn't get paid. Nobody gave to him. Nobody gave him anything for his labor. And that is a picture of the world. That is a picture of sin. It will make you work and it will not give you anything. The wages of sin is death. And then the Bible gives us a reprieve. In verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself. Can anyone remember the time when you came to yourself? When you realized that you're slunched over that trough? That you realize that you're doing all the work and not getting no pay? When you've been used and abused by the world? When you realize that you're in a far country, a long, long way from God? And when he came to himself, he said, okay, he starts to preach to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Not just enough bread, but they've got extra and spare. And I am here perishing in hunger. Now, here's what I think. This is what I think. My opinion. This is my opinion. I believe that if this young man had eaten the pig food, he would never have left the pigsty. I believe that if he had tasted of that pig food and he had put it in his mouth, he would never have left the pigsty. Why is that? Because it would have satisfied his belly. There would have been some sort of satisfaction. Not complete satisfaction. No nutrition, no, not even good, but I guess it would have filled the hole for the time being. An endless supply of pig food. It would have satisfied him, and I believe he would have stayed in the pig pen.
I'm not warning you that this world is completely bad. Yes, and you're going to find some pleasure in the world for a season, but you will not find the abundant life in Christ Jesus. And seasons will finish. Seasons will change. And you will find yourself in the pigsty. You will find yourself eating from the pig pen. It will satisfy you, but it will not fill your belly like God can. And so alcoholism is no life. Drug addiction is no life. And they're out in the world saying, oh, it's great. It's great out here. It satisfies. Yes, it does. For a little time, it satisfies. But Jesus didn't come just to satisfy us. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, young people, listen to me right now. Listen to these words. Let me save you some heartache. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy you. I could go and get 40 to 50 adults to come here, stand right here, and they will tell you the same thing. I tried the world, but it never satisfied me. I tried all those things, but I couldn't find anything in there. Let me save you the heartache. Let me save you the mess. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy you. Now, he said to himself, he came to himself. He wasn't talking to the pigs. Some people say, oh, he was talking to the pigs. Oh, well, how much lower could you go? I mean, we think you're crazy talking to yourself. But he was talking to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He was preaching to himself. He says, I will arise. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go to my father, and I am going to tell him that I have sinned and I am no longer worthy to be called his son. Listen carefully to me today. The greatest message you will ever hear is the message you hear when you preach to yourself. Let me say that again. The greatest message that you will hear is the message you hear when you preach to yourself. It's one thing for the pastor to preach a message, but when you leave this place, you've got to take that message and preach it to yourself. What the pastor said, that's what I got to do. I got to arise. I got to change my lifestyle. I got to get out of this mess. I got to turn my eyes back to God. And so when you leave this place, you get in the car and you drive home and you go into another week. And yes, you may remember what the pastor preached, but don't leave it in the history. But then begin to think about what was preached in the house of God and begin to preach it to yourself. And if you're a prodigal today, maybe once upon a time you were in the house of God and you were on fire for God, but now you find yourself a long, long way from God, start preaching to yourself. Don't wait for a preacher, but just start preaching to yourself. Oh, I got to get back to the Father's house. I got to get back into relationship with God. I got to give Jesus my life again. I got to get out of this pigsty and this mess. Say to yourself, say self. Everybody say self. Get up, it's time to go home. Everybody say self. It's time to gather your stuff and go to the altar. It's time to get your heart right with God. Everybody say self. It's time for a change. I'm going back to Jesus. I'm giving my life to him. I'm going back. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew what it was to preach to herself. She said, oh, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. She'd heard it preached. Maybe she went to church and heard somebody say, if you could just touch Jesus, give it the best shot you've got. If you could just touch the hem of his garment. She probably heard that. One day she got desperate. She started preaching to herself. She said, oh, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I would be made whole. I could preach till I'm blue in the face, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I spit. Sometimes I sweat. Sometimes I scream, but some of us need to start preaching to ourselves. Because I can preach as much as I can with everything I've got, but until the point where we start applying it to our lives and preaching to ourselves, there will be no change. There is no hope until we start believing and applying what we hear. And it was the prodigal's message that made him get up out of the pig pen. Verse 18, it says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy
hired servants. The prodigal son had a misunderstanding. This misunderstanding had impacted his relationship with his father. He had an understanding that because of his sin against heaven and against his father, that he could no longer be a son, that he could only be a servant, a slave, that he could no longer be a son. And this prodigal son had a misunderstanding that impacted his relationship with his father. A misunderstanding that his father was angry with him, and it changed the way that he approached his dad. Let me tell you today very clearly, God hates our sins, but he doesn't hate us. Somebody say amen. God hates our sin, but he doesn't hate us. God doesn't minimize sin. He will not clear the guilty. However, God's heart is overflowing with mercy and compassion. Lamentations tells us the steadfast love. Come on, that steadfast love is a love that this world doesn't know. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. And so while God hates sin, he doesn't hate us. All through Scripture, we see God dealing gracefully and mercifully with men and women who deserve nothing except judgment from God, but God dealt with them mercifully and graciously. And so this young boy, he had a misunderstanding about the Father. And a misunderstanding about the Father, I believe, is the greatest misunderstanding. Something it caused, this misunderstandings. Misunderstandings have caused the greatest problems in the world. Misunderstandings are the sources of wars. It's the source of death. It's the source of brokenness. Misunderstanding. I've come to remind you today that Satan does his greatest work in misunderstandings. He does his greatest and most subtle work by creating misunderstandings. His goal is to create confusion and to cultivate and nurture a misunderstanding in your soul. The greatest misunderstanding, the greatest misunderstanding is any misunderstanding that negatively impacts your relationship with God. The greatest misunderstanding. Why? Because you can't think that somebody is angry with you and let it not affect your relationship with them. You can't think that somebody hates you and not allow it to affect your relationship with them. Thinking God is angry with us and God doesn't want us and God has thrown us on the junk heap, it will keep you from God. It's the greatest misunderstanding. Don't let a misunderstanding creep into your life. Yes, God hates our sin, but he doesn't hate us. The Bible is jam-packed with the truth that God's heart overflows with mercy and compassion. God doesn't write you off. God doesn't shut the door. If you believe that, that's the greatest misunderstanding. The devil is after your relationship with God. He seeks to create a misunderstanding between you and God. You can't go back to the Father. You can't go back to the Lord. He doesn't love you. You've sinned too much. You can never be a son again. You can only be a servant. And so the prodigal son says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to fall before Dad and I'm going to beg him just to be a servant. After all I've done, I know Dad's going to be mad at me. I know after all I've done that there's no way that I could be a son again. I just want to be a servant. You see, I've made so many mistakes. I've messed up so much. I've shamed my father. I just want to be a servant. So the prodigal son rehearses his little speech. He's already thinking about what he's going to do when he sees Dad. He's imagining himself going to the door, walking the long road all the way up, and Dad being inside, sitting on the armchair or whatever he's doing, and knocking humbly at the door and saying, Dad, I'm going to fall before you and humble myself. But Daddy, I've done lots of terrible things. I'm not worthy to even be in this land anymore. None of this. I don't deserve any of this. Can I just be just one of your servants? He had a misunderstanding. about the Father. He rehearses his speech. This is what I'm going to say. Have you ever rehearsed a speech before in a difficult circumstance? This is what I'm going to say. And so he's thinking, what am I going to say? This is going to be difficult. So he rehearses his speech, but he never gets to use it. He thought the Father would be angry, resentful because of the mistakes. He thought that the Father would hold the beauty and the honor of sonship. He came back to the house with his tail between his legs. He was stooped. He was hesitant. He was probably a little bit, you know, shy as he came on to the block of land, as he approached the farmhouse, as he went to his dad. He thought the Father was going to be angry. He was so hesitant, and he arose. In verse 20, and it says, and he came to his father. Oh, I love this. He started walking down the road. He started taking the right path back to the Father's house. He was, the Bible says, in a far country. He was a long way from home. Yet, when he was yet a great way off, he wasn't home yet, but he was headed in the right direction. If you're in the house of God today, let me tell you, you're heading in the right direction. If your heart is submitted to the Word of God today, you're headed in the right direction. You might still be a great way off, but you're headed in the right direction. And he came, he arose, he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How could his daddy see him a great way off? Because his dad never stopped looking for him. He had been gone so long. And every day he'd walk out that front door. Daddy would walk out onto that porch. He'd sit there and he'd look down that long road. Is my son coming home? Where is he? Be walking on the farm, digging holes and with cattle. And every time, every couple of minutes, he'd turn back over his shoulder and look down that road. And when the sun arose, he came to his father. And when he was a long way off, his father ran. His father saw him. He had compassion and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son's thinking, I've lost my testimony. I've lost my integrity. My character is gone. I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. But little did he know, all of that was a misunderstanding. Oh, the father wasn't mad. The father wasn't disappointed. The father wasn't angry. What was the father doing? He was simply waiting, day after day, waiting and waiting and waiting. And so the prodigal son meets the running father. And I could call this message the running father, because Jesus has been looking out for you. Maybe you've been a long way gone, in a great way off, in another country. Maybe you've been living a life that is far from what God has called you to live. I'm here to tell you that Jesus has been looking out for you. He's been looking down that road. When are you coming home? When is my child coming home? I called them. I gave them a purpose. I formed them in their mother's womb. They are called. When are they coming home? Maybe you're in the house of God today and you've been a long way from God. I'm here to tell you today, don't let a misunderstanding stop you from coming back to God. He wasn't angry. He wasn't disappointed. He wasn't mad. Don't misunderstand your father's mindset. You will stay away if you misunderstand it. Don't let a misunderstanding get into your spirit. You will come running home to a father who cannot wait to embrace you, who cannot wait to renew the relationship that you once enjoyed. That is the truth today. I often think about that story, because there's an inconsistency in Luke 15. It seems to be three of the same stories, just with different numbers. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. But there's a slight inconsistency. Because with the lost sheep, the shepherd went to look. With the lost coin, the woman turn the house upside down, looking for the coin. But with the lost son, why didn't the father go looking? The reason why, I believe, is because the son left of his own intention. The sheep was lost because of ignorance. The coin was lost because of a mistake. But this son left intentionally.
The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For all intents and purposes, this boy wasn't lost. He was hiding. Jesus didn't come to seek and to save those who are hiding. And some of us know where we need to be. We're not lost. We know exactly where we are. It was no mistake. But we intentionally made a rebellion against God and said, I'm walking away. We are hiding. Is there somebody here today that's hiding from God? That's why the son had to make a decision to step out of his hiding place and to come back to his father. The Bible says when the father saw him afar off, he ran to him. Let me tell you, as the musicians come, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. If you will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. I've come in all humility today to tell you, don't let a misunderstanding creep into your heart about God. Don't let a misunderstanding come between you and your relationship with God. Don't let a misunderstanding come. Don't let the devil create a misunderstanding to break your relationship with God. The most important thing in your life is your relationship with God. Let's stand in this place today. The greatest misunderstanding is any understanding that impacts your relationship with God. Repentance. That prodigal son was out and he was walking away, hiding from God. And repentance is changing the direction of our life. Repentance, I could simply put it like this, is a change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. It's something that happens in our heart but can be seen on the outside. It's about humbling yourself like that prodigal did as he began to preach to himself. It took a long time for him, listen carefully, it took a long time for him to go from a son to a begging servant. But it took no time for him to go from a servant to a son. That's the grace of God.